Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Jill?
Yes.
Josie asked to be excused today, we have a call.
Okay, thank you. And here in Sanford, we have Paul, Jim, and the mayor. And King Cole, who do you have there?
Yes, Mayor, we have the assembly members and myself, Jackie Brandel, present, and Seward will be here momentarily.
Okay, thank you. Cole Bay. Nelson Lagoon. Jim said.
She said to encourage.
Balls Pass.
Tom.
Okay, thanks, Tom. And then Hackettan, they're not there. And Anchorage.
Yes, Mayor Speck, it's myself, Annie, Glenora, we have Vicky with BDO, Ernie, Charlotte, and Sam.
Okay, thank you. So we need a motion to adopt the agenda.
Motion, Warren.
Brenda, second. Brenda.
Any corrections to the agenda? Hearing none. If there's no objections, the agenda will stand as written. Any public comments at this time on the agenda? Hearing none. Anybody feel they may have a conflict of interest on any agenda items? Okay, we are down to presentation. Annie, I'll turn this part over to you.
Yes, Mayor Speck, we have Vicky with BDO here. Presentation is in your packet, and I'll just hand it off to you.
All right. Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Vicky Sersta, and I'm with BDO, and I'm just doing the planning communication to the board right here. So we actually already got started on this year's audit. As you know, just last month we actually printed prior year's audit, but your team was already prepared for us right away, so we could get that started. The team was in the field last week in King Cove. Was it last week? No, 2 weeks ago. In King Cove, and they're back, so they've done a bunch of work now. So as far as the planning communication, we were trying to do this last time, but we just couldn't make it work during that time, but the communication is here right now. I'm gonna skip on ahead to just the timeline first. Is starting on page six. We say August here, but we actually ended up starting in September. But we're going to be auditing throughout the time. Right now, we're planning to hopefully print by January. So we'll get this scheduled ahead quite a bit. One thing to note for this year, just to give everybody a heads up, is there may be a delay because of, so we have to do a federal similar audit in accordance with the uniform guidance. Right now, guidance provided by the federal government, basically in your compliance supplements that are used for auditing your federal program. And every year there is a new compliance supplement published, and we use that to do our test work. So right now there's a draft version of the compliance supplement that is still not finalized yet. So what is going to happen is, even if we are done with everything, if that compliance supplement is not finalized, then there may be delay in the single audit reporting at the end. So just giving you a heads up on that. Right now, normally this gets approved in like March or April of the year, and we're sitting in September or October right now, and we still don't have it. So that's just something to note. Next page, please, the overview. Next one more. Okay, so just the first paragraph there, our audit strategy follows a risk-based approach, and then that drives the basically the nature, timing, and extent of our audit procedures planned. And then we focus on items that we think are that can have risk of material misstatement as well as significant matters during the audit. In your situation, we do a lot of work on your revenue side of things and then also on your property and equipment side of things. If there were new bonds or anything, we would focus a bunch of our attention over there too. And then anytime when we're doing these audits, like I discussed later too, anytime there is management override of controls like journal entries or things done outside of your normal internal controls or normal procedures, we'd also focus on that. Next place, please. All right, so this one just talks about our audit independence. We did have our engagement letter signed September 3rd that kind of describes our service. The few items on the terms of the audit there, since you get federal state grants and report as a government, the audit is also going to be subject to an audit in accordance with government auditing standards. What that means is we just have to get some understanding of some of the laws and regulations surrounding, and if we notice any issues as part of our procedures, then we report on that. And then we'll also have the uniform guidance audit. And I think at this point, we are not expecting to have a state of Alaska audit, I believe. So if things change, then we might have to add that. But based on all the information we have, we'll have a federal single audit, government auditing standard audit, and your regular financial statements. Next, please, just our plan audit strategies over here. Normally, we use results of, we look at like prior audits and what kind of results of the operations at that time or whatever issues we had encountered during that time. And we use that in our procedures to determine which items to test. Inherent risk within the borough, and then materiality, we have to keep on assessing it just based on all the information. Recent development in the accounting industries, and then any other risks faced by the borough that would change our risk and our audit procedures as we move along. Let's go a couple more pages all the way down to significant risks. Yeah, so as part of our audit procedures, these were the three risks that were identified that we're going to focus more of our attention. Doesn't mean the other sections of the file doesn't get addressed, but these are the section that usually gets more attention. Just the IT segregation of duties issues around that, it's basically just that because of the size of the borough, you can't have enough segregation of duties. So some of the individuals within the borough have access to some of the accounting information. So that's why we just have to design procedures around it. Management override of controls is always considered significant risk for an audit, just because that's something that's done a little bit outside your normal regular process. But with any entity, there's always going to be journal entries that has to be posted to clean up some of the areas or fix some things that maybe were done in error or some information changes, and you have to go adjust the financial statements for it. And then really our revenue acquisitions for your grant, that's somewhere where we spend a lot of time on, just because of the compliance requirements and the expenses that have to follow the grant requirements. And then other than that, that's really, and then if you go all the way to the government auditing standards, yeah, so there's the few new accounting pronouncements that might have an effect on your financial statements. The only one I could think of is compensated absences, and really what this is basically there was a change in the GASB rules. So prior to June 30, 2025, the only compensated absences that you really booked on your financial statements is your accrued leave. Anything that you're required to pay in cash if the employee were to leave or whatever it is, those would be booked. But But the rules change now. So if you have any other kind of leave where you don't have to pay in cash, but there's an expectation that they will actually use those leave in the future, now you have to accrue for that too. So the big one on that, really, that's affected usually in most places that has the impact of this is like if you had sick leave policy, for example, the sick leave, normally you're not allowed to cash out at the end, but now you have to see like, okay, if there's all these people that have accumulated sick leave, what are the probability that they're actually going to use it, then you book a liability based on your assessment of the probability there. So that's really the biggest one that affects your financial statements. And in next year, the financial reporting model improvement and disclosure of certain capital assets, that will affect your financial statements a little bit, but it'll just change in how some things are being reported will change in 2026. So that's really all I have for my presentation. Any questions or concerns?
Well, yeah, just one quick question. This, thank you for the presentation. This is more, I guess, wouldn't call it a boilerplate presentation. There's nothing specifically tailored to us in it. Is there just kind of a general presentation?
Yes, because this is the planning presentation. When we do the wrap-up, that's when we kind of report on the results of the audit during the year.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions or comments? Must be a good presentation, because you're not getting a lot of questions.
All right.
Okay, so if anybody has any comments or questions on it, I appreciate you coming in and doing this for us.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. I don't know what happened, but... All right. We are down to minutes. So we need a motion and a second to bring September 11 minutes to the floor.
I need a motion. This is Chris.
This is Brendel, second.
Okay, thank you. Anybody see any corrections needed in the minutes? Hearing we've done. If there's no objections, the minutes will stand as written. So, we have the Finance Director's Report. Jackie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. I do have a report in the packet this meeting. I apologize, I didn't have my last meeting. I was out on leave and I was just busy getting all the audit stuff prepared. So there's a lot included in this report. I've included a little bit of a table in there that shows all of the audit tasks that needed to be put together and completed for this year's audit. All of the ones that are on there have been completed and uploaded and turned into BDO for their testing procedures, with the exception of the status of the prior audit findings. We usually do that after the audit's been performed and the financials are sent to us. We usually get a formatted document from them asking us to write what we did to fix the prior audit findings. So that won't be done for a while, but all the rest of the tasks that we've engaged the bookkeeper from to help do the closing entries and comply with internal controls have been turned in. I know there's a few bold ones on there that at the time I wrote it were not done, but I've got the last item from her this morning and uploaded it to the BDO portal. They're still sending samples for testing, so we've been busy pulling them as they come in through the emails and getting them back the information that they're looking for. Other than that, all the routine tasks are going really good. Just added a little extra with the change of the year. We added a little extra step into our day because we don't want to scan later. So we're trying to make sure we digitalize documents as they're created. So it makes it just a little bit slower right now until we get used to actually doing it. But it's going to save us time in the long run. If you have any questions, let me know.
Thank you, Jackie. Questions for Jackie? Okay. Thank you. So, we need a motion to bring the August 2025 financials to the floor.
No, this is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'll second it, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I'll second assembly. In the packet are the August 2025 financials. Just a few things to point out. On page one is the AB raw fish tax. It reflects that we received $492,000 for the month of August. $38,000 of that was from a smaller processor for the months of April, May, and June. So some of that is from prior months that we did receive in August. But if we just went off the August numbers, we received $454,000, which is about 89% of the five-year average. So we did quite well in the month of August. And then if Ernie provided me the following data regarding the summer fish tax, so if we took June, July, and August combined, it's about 72.7% of the previous five-year average summer fish tax. So so we're doing well, but not as well as we have been in the past. But I just wanted to point those items out. The other one, of course, is the interest revenue. We're doing very well here. Very, very proud that we're still coming in strong with getting some, you know, revenue from our interest and where we're putting the money. So that's great news. As far as expenditures go, really, we're only about 16.6% into the fiscal year. We're tracking along right now, and I don't have anything, in my opinion, that stands out that needs to be discussed at this time. So if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks. Any questions on the financials? Paul?
Yeah. Annie, just a quick comment. Just kind of have to guess at this point of the year how we're doing, but it looks to me like we're a little ahead of what we predicted when we drew up the budget, when you drew up the budget. So things look okay. Is that a good interpretation? Not great, but okay.
Yeah, I think we're doing okay now, but we do need to keep in mind that the next couple of months, the fish tax will be low, if very much at all. So as of right now, for the first 2 months of the fiscal year, yes, we're doing well. But just keep in mind, fish tax revenues for the next couple months won't be as high. So we'll be relying on these revenues for a while.
Other questions? Okay, thank you, Annie. So we need roll call vote on the financials.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Paul? I took all my days on this.
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. The investment report, your packet. We don't have anything on the consent agenda. So our next item on the agenda is a public hearing. So we need a motion to bring Ordinance 2601 to the floor for second reading and public hearing.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'll second it, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I'll second assembly. I'm going to defer to Beverly on this.
Thank you, Annie. Thank you, Mayor, I'll step back on assembly. This is the second reading of the Ordinance 2601. The purpose of this ordinance is to amend Title II, Section 2.12.030A and B of the Lucian's East Borough Code of Ordinances to establish an agenda-setting process to include agenda items requested by assembly members and or borough citizens. As we stated last meeting, administration worked with the borough attorney to update the titles and suggested additions to establish an agenda setting process. In the ordinance itself, you will find the text addition highlighted in red that states how an assembly member or borough citizen can request for an item to be placed on the agenda. It also states the deadline requirement to submit such request, and I also included the form that we are going to use to request the item. And if you have any questions, please let me know.
Okay, thank you. And Paul?
Just to be clear on everything before you do public comments, if an assembly member wanted to suggest an addition to the agenda, give us the meetings on Thursday like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
When would you have to get notification just to put it in plain language of the date, the time that you would need to do that?
Notification for?
To get it on the agenda.
10 days. The requirements to submit it 10 days before the...
And so that would be like Monday at 5 o'clock? 4 o'clock or something? Anytime on Monday, the week before, okay.
The week before.
That's just so, yeah. I don't want to read too much, but thank you.
Other assembly card? Hearing none. I'll open the public hearing at this time for public comments. Hearing no public comments, or close the public hearing. Question on this motion.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have 4 resolutions before us. So we need a motion and a second on resolution 2616, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a sub-award agreement with the Alaska Municipal League for Renewal America's School Grant.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
Jim, one second.
Thank you, Jim. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, Sprague and Assembly, Resolution 2016 does authorize the mayor to negotiate and execute a sub-award agreement with the Alaska Municipal League for the Renew America School Grant. A while ago, we did discuss this, but just to summarize that in June 2024, AML did submit a Renew America School application on behalf of the Aleutians East Borough, the Juneau School District, and the Southeast Island School District. And in August 2024, AML was selected for the funding. This project is being led by AML, which is leading a facilitated planning effort through phase one, will deliver energy audits in phase two, and ensure a successful deployment of improvements in phase three. All the project improvements has the goal of reducing energy consumption. In August of 2024, the borough did commit to providing $9,569 in cash or in-kind cost share for the period one, the borough did pay that in April of 2025. The borough also committed to pay a 25% cost share, which will be at least $19,138, with the actual amount being determined by the number of schools and or prioritized improvements. So that will be something that we will pay here soon, and it will come out of, I believe, the project contingency line item. To continue with this project and to meet federal standards and guidelines, a subaward does need to be executed between AML and the borough. This subaward will cover work to be performed during budget period one, which is we're a little late, but it will go January 2025 through June 30, 2026. So per the subaward, the subrecipient would understand and agree that any additional work or funding beyond the current budget period is neither guaranteed nor implied by this agreement and will require formal written modification executed by both parties. And then the subrecipient shall not proceed with work beyond the initial budget period unless and until such modification is fully executed. So Joe Levesque, the borough attorney, did review the document. He has no issues with it. I did include the first 6 pages of the subaward for your reference. That's the meat and bones of it. It's a very long document, but the first 6 pages covers pretty much all the terms and conditions that are really applicable to us. And with that, I would recommend approval of this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Andy on the resolution? Okay. Call the question on the motion.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Before us, we have Resolution 2617 relating to the disposal of surplus, obsolete, or unneeded supply. So, need a motion and a second to bring it to the floor.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
Second.
Annie?
Yes, so Resolution 2617 is in relation to the disposal of surplus, obsolete, or unneeded supplies, specifically from the King Cove office, the borough office in King Cove. We have certain personal property that is worn out, doesn't need, is no longer needed by us. So Gloria or Seward went and took inventory of the items. They're all listed here. There's some tin, roofing screws, hardy plank, stuff like that that is no longer needed. We did take the items that we can use and are going to be used to remodel the office that the finance department's currently in. So we've taken what we can reuse, and then this is the excess materials that are sitting there that could be up for auction. So, yeah, if there's any questions about this, please let me know. Otherwise, I do recommend approval of this resolution. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Questions on Resolution 2617? Paul?
Yeah. Is, Annie, is this a lump sum bid that you put in for everything, or is the intent to just sell what you can item by item?
I believe how it will be written is that each item is listed individually, so people can make a bid on each item. It's not to be a lump sum thing, correct? Yeah. Yeah. So each item will be bid individually.
And where exactly are the items at now?
They're all in King Cove.
I mean, where in King Cove?
I think they're at the building. Is that correct? Is Seward there, Jackie?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Are all these materials at the King Cove office, the borough office?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Other comment?
On the minimum bid up there, is that a minimum bid? Is that set in stone, or are you going to just bid it off or anything?
Nope, that is a minimum bid. They have to be that or higher.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to do, I think. That stuff's scattered out.
Other comment? Jim,
is there already a discounted price on those items?
Was it full
price that they bought for?
To be honest, I'm not sure. Seward put the bid together for me, so I'm not sure.
But that is the price they were paid for.
Right, or without?
Without.
So, this was FOB Seattle or FOB King Cove. Does this include freight and stuff, or is this just the price of what you paid for the material?
But this is just the price of the material, so if somebody bids on this, they will be responsible to transport it from its current location.
No, that's not what I meant. I meant, top and bottom roof cap for $81.12. When you put that price on there, was that including the freight, or if somebody bids the minimum bid on there, does that mean they're saving? I guess what I'm trying to figure out is it discounted somewhat? Like, are you under, so you'd save money because you're not paying the freight on it type of thing?
Jackie's got her hand up.
Yeah, These costs are just what we paid for without the cost of freight. All these items were freighted in on a separate transaction. So if you were to buy that metal flashing for $157, it is going to be discounted because you're going to get it here without having to pay any freight costs.
Okay. I would spell that out too so people understand that there that it is, you know, you are saving
no freight.
Yeah, freight not included or something.
Okay. And these costs are actually from several years ago, so some of those items are probably way more than that already.
Yeah. There's on each item, like the party plank sitting outside King Cove, you could FOB it anywhere and you already lost your value. The tin laying outside, water got in between the tin for 3 years, 4 years, or whatever it's been. You got to take that minimum bid and just take it off of there. That's all I could say. I don't see any value really, anything but like the screws, stuff that's in a bag. The hardy plank, we might just want to throw that away. Nobody uses it anymore. Unfaced insulation, I know that's inside. So I see the it's $123.35 there. So that's that might be a little bit off. And the ice and water shield, $1,000. That stuff's been sitting here inside. Even though it's been sitting inside, you go ahead and roll that out now. How it unless you heat it to put it down, then it'll work. That's not given. If it's been stored upright, it's messed up. If it's stored flat, it kind of wants to sandwich itself together. And the premium roof layment, and then you got like the top and bottom roof cap. I wouldn't doubt that might be each piece might be $81. I'm not sure there. And the roofing nails, I don't even know what you use the nails for. If you got tin, is all the screws going to be screwed down. So there's a lot to look at here, but I to get a good bidder on this, you might find somebody, but go ahead and give it a try. But I don't I could see it backfiring there on a minimal bid.
Any other comments, Jim?
Is there any restrictions on, since the borough owns this, can sell it for anything it wants?
So, if you vote yes on this, it'll go forward with these numbers. And it's up to you guys. You can change all of these numbers if you want to, because it's up to the assembly to do it. Either that, or I mean, if you pass it, Warren can go up there and be our spokesman. I don't bid on this. This is no good, or that type of thing. If you guys want, or whatever. But if you want to change the numbers, you can vote this down and redo it if you want to. That's up to you, as an assembly.
I got a question, Alvin. Chris here.
Go ahead, Chris.
So, looking at the top there. So just the tin alone is the $3,659. It's kind of misleading a little bit. It almost says, well, the minimum bid, it's almost like the $3,659.23 would be for everything. But I think if we do it item by item, we need to make sure that we say it's per item. And I guess if we don't, I'd kind of actually like to see it, if we could actually package it together. I mean, after what Warren has said on some of this stuff, I know hardy board is garbage, and if it's been sitting, how many years it's been sitting, yeah, it's, nobody's going to put that up. But I mean, I guess we could go item by item, but I would kind of like to see it maybe put everything together. But, yeah, that's all I got.
Well, everybody else already agreed that it would go item by item. If you guys don't like this, just when they call a question on it, just vote it down and then redo it the way you want it. It's, you know, all this belongs to the borough, and you guys are the assembly.
Yeah, I think it'd be okay just to leave it like it is and see what happens and then bring it back up if we don't get any bidders.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm not the person that wants to sit here and say, well, this guy, nobody's going to bid on this one, or 10 people will bid on this one. So we kind of left it to our MS people over there to figure out, you know. So basically, you know what the stuff costs. If people want it, they'll bid on it. If not,
Are we putting on there too that you're responsible to move this stuff off of this, out of this building, or off of this
you
property within a specific amount of time, so it's not sitting there for another year or two because they couldn't get over here and get it, or they couldn't get somebody to take it over to wherever it was going. I'd like to see some kind of a time limit. I don't know if that's in this thing as to when it has to be removed from the building.
But you brought it up, put a time limit on it.
Yeah, so this is Annie, sorry to interrupt, but in the public posting, it will have everything listed individually with photos. And then it does say that it's FOB, the location it's currently located at, and then it will have a timeline. So all of that will be in the public notice.
I say we just go for it the way it is. I mean, if that's all in there, you know, and I guess if we don't sell some of it, then we do something else with it or something. So, but at least we'll get rid of some of it. So I'm sure.
Okay, one more point here from Warren. If we're going to do this way, you'll have everybody running for $123.13 unfaced insulation. If that's bundles, 13 bundles, or if just 13 pieces.
Bundles, you said.
I don't understand what your problem is on this one.
Well, there is no problem. The problem is it's $123 for a bundle of 13 bundles at $123.35.
Is that correct? That might be a typo. Because there's a 1.23.35.
It should be 1,200 and some if we're for looking at a price of it. 13
bundles.
Or is that just a mistake on the calculation?
Or just 13 individual pieces?
No, it's rolls.
If they're going to do that whole building with insulation, it had to have been 13 bundles.
Okay, guys, hold it.
Just a little point of interest there. I'm not trying to raise any hell here. It's just, there's some wording off.
It's easy. So is this just a misprint on the price? Does it just need to be corrected? Is it $1,233.50 or something? Is it supposed to be?
Yeah. Jackie's looking into it here right now. He thinks it's a typo, yeah, because that's awful.
Yeah.
Well, that's awful cheap. So.
You can see it. You can see it's a typo
This is Glenora. It's a typo. I mistyped it when I was typing this up. It's $1,234.35. And that's for the 11 bundles.
You can see the comma in there. Yeah, yeah, I see it now.
Yeah. 13 bundles or 11 bundles.
Post if approved, and I just typed wrong. That's all it is. My mistake.
That makes more sense.
Kidding?
Yeah, I see we're having fun with that. The reason I asked if there was a limit in the borough, I had to make this money back. If you would just move the stuff, take the minimum bid off, but just bid it so it'll move. Get rid of it. Just a suggestion.
Jackie's got a question.
Sorry, Jackie.
I just wanted to point out that I think in the code it says that we have to put a minimum bid that's at least at fair market value. And if some of these items might be worthless, but we have to go through the process before we can actually dump them. If nobody bids on them and it's garbage, then we could dump it. I mean, this is the process that our code tells us we need to go through to dispose of and get rid of the real property.
Is that the rules of insulation too? Or no?
Gotta get bashed and tear down.
That's why there's a minimum bid on there. It's just that's what the code says. We have to use a fair market value. And with not knowing the actual value of it, looking at it today, with the best thing we can go to is just the price that we paid for it.
That 67 insulation baffles of PVC. What is that?
Insulation baffles.
There's 67 spots along the roof that you want to get air.
Okay. I just wanted to know if it wasn't insulation. I mean, the way it's written, it sounds like it, but now I see baffles, yeah. So it's just to let air in, so okay.
So the reason we're selling this is that the building is not going to be fixed up, I take it.
You take it right. Other questions on this resolution? Hearing none, question on the motion.
Jim?
Yes.
Tom? Tom?
No.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
We have motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have resolution 2618 authorizing the appropriation of Series E bond funds to the Sandpoint Pool Deferred Maintenance and Project Contingency. We need a motion and second to bring resolution 2618 to the floor.
Brendan, I'll make motion to bring 2618 to the floor.
Thank you, Brendan.
I'll second it, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I was back in assembly. So before you is resolution 2618, which would authorize the appropriation of the Series E bond funds to the Sandpoint Pool Deferred Maintenance and Project Contingency. To back up in history, in 2003, the assembly did pass an ordinance and a resolution that issued its school, marine, and other transportation general obligation bonds for 2003, which also combined 1998 bonds in the original amount of $21,125,000, all of which is outstanding. And this is called the Series E bond. The bond project allocations were for the False Pass Boat Harbor, the Cold Bay Boat Launch, the Nelson Lagoon Dock, the Sandpoint Boat Harbor, and the King Cove School Replacement. And those are the estimated allocations for each project in the agenda statement. The Series E bond was then refunded again in 2007, or was refunded originally in 2007 and again in 2016, and is currently reflected as the 2016 Series General Obligation Refunding Bond. The funds that were originally received from the Series E bond in 2003 were put into an account to hold while the projects were ongoing. Periodically, the funds spent on the projects were transferred out of the account to cover the expenses. So basically, it was like a reimbursement grant. We would spend the money and then spend the money out of our general fund and then reimburse ourselves out of this account. For reasons unknown, in 2007-2008, funds were no longer transferred from the account to cover the project's expenses. The projects were all completed by 2010, and the remaining expenses were just covered by the general fund cash and not paid out of the bond proceeds, so they just remained there. So we made all these expenses from 2007 on and just didn't reimburse ourselves. In order to move the funds, the borough had to hire an arbitrage consultant to review the bond and ensure that earnings from invested bond proceeds did not exceed the bond's original interest rate. We finally got that done after figuring out all the expenses in September of 2025, and the arbitrage compliance specialists did conduct an update to this thing, and they determined that there's no payment due to the United States Treasury Internal Revenue Service with respect to the debt for the fifth year report previously completed by ACS. So basically that means the borough does not owe any money to the IRS, and we're in compliance with everything, and the funds are able to be moved out of the Series E bond account out of there to another account. So on September 22nd, the borough did contact APCM and requested to liquidate the funds in the Series E account, which is reflected here as 14560.6, and on September 24th, all proceeds from the liquidation of the Series E account were settled, and the funds were available to be withdrawn. On September 25th, there was $3,015,191.25 that was transferred from the Series E account to the Amlet Point 3. So they're sitting in the Amlet Point 3 right now, and they need to be reallocated to designated projects, which is where you guys come in and what this resolution is about. So what we're proposing is taking $1.5 million and allocating it to the Sandpoint Pool, $1 million for deferred maintenance to complete necessary maintenance at the schools, and the remaining funds, which will be approximately $515,000. This could change because some additional interest revenue may have been gathered from when the money was moved in September over, but to go into the project contingency fund to address unanticipated projects and needs. So that's what we're recommending to allocate the money for. But if there are any questions, please let me know. Bond stuff's confusing. It confuses me. So if there are any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Questions for Annie?
Well, yeah, hello for Annie or Alan, but this is, I think it's a very good move for the borough to do this, but I plan to vote for it. But if it passes at this meeting, Alvin, what's the next step that you anticipate the borough would need to make this project a reality?
You're speaking of pool?
Yes.
So Annie and I have met with Paul, actually, in the beginning of this week, talked to him about his plans for basically remodeling the pool, or whatever you want to call it. So he is putting together a bid, so we'll have a formal bid for the assembly to look at, and I'm figuring that we'll have it by the next meeting. And then it'll be up to the administration to look at it, and we'll make a recommendation one way or the other, and then we'll bring it to you at the meeting and go through it with the assembly. And if you approve it, we're going to move forward with this, and hopefully from my conversations and Annie's with Paul, the pool could be up and running as soon as October of next fall.
Thank you.
That's kind of what we're at. So, other questions or comments? Hearing none? Questions on the motion?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yep.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay, Resolution 2619, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute amendment number 1 for the memorandum of agreement between the Aleutians East Borough and the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for the King Cole to Cold Bay Road. Annie. Oh, we need a motion.
Yeah, motion. This is Brenda, make motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'll start here, Chris.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
I was all excited thinking about maybe we'll come next fall. Anyway, it's up to you.
All right, so Resolution 2619 does authorize the mayor to negotiate and execute an amendment to the MOA between the borough and the state for the King Cove Cold Bay Road. At the July 12, 2018 assembly meeting, the assembly did approve Resolution 1901, which authorized the mayor to negotiate and execute an MOA between the borough and the state for this project. The MOA did go into effect July 23rd, 2018, and applied for 5 years or until substantial completion of the project, whichever occurred first. Since substantial completion has not occurred and the 5 years has passed, this MOA is no longer really valid unless both parties mutually agreed to extend the MOA to accommodate a later date. After speaking with the state, state would like to extend the MOA to accommodate a substantial completion date of December 31st, 2030, and all other terms and conditions of the MOA would remain the same. As a reminder, just so you know, the MOA's intent is to facilitate the planning, design, and construction of the King Cove to Cold Bay Road. The scope of the project is to plan, design, and construct the single-lane gravel road with turnouts between the communities of King Cove to Cold Bay. The MOA outlines the planning, design, construction, and ownership and improvement aspects of the project. two borough responsibilities that I'm highlighting include that the borough will accept full ownership of the constructed improvements and complete responsibility for the project upon substantial completion, and two, the borough is committed to provide maintenance of the constructed improvements pursuant to the terms of this MOA for a period of at least 20 years. The MOA also allows the borough to reserve its right to propose an alternative arrangement for ownership of the constructed improvements with an entity including local governments, INCSCA, corporations, tribes, or the state of Alaska. So the original MOA is in here for your review. This was, like I said, approved in 2018 and signed in 2018, but we do need to do the amendment to extend it to 2030 so we can continue with the project. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Questions for Annie?
Well, just a general question. You know, last week, the big news was the Ambler Road that approved. Is there any discussion with the budget of this big shutdown or everything? And is there any new discussion last week or so about the King Cove Road and what may happen if they figure out a way out of this shutdown?
Not right now. Not anything that we can discuss right now, no.
Other questions? Hearing none, motion? Question on a motion?
Bob?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. That's it for the resolution. So, old business. Annie, King Cove office building.
Yes. So, in the packet, it's just an MOA about the King Cove office, the borough King Cove office, which has some significant damage to the building. There's mold throughout the facility. Jackie and them did two test kits, which were sent out for analysis, and it identified four types of mold spores in the front office and two in the back office, and the types of these spores indicated dampness, water damage, or moist building materials. And then when the T111 started falling off the northeast wall, the water damage was visible. The exterior walls that consisted of the T111, the Tyvek, which is two layers, and the OSB were saturated with water. There's also a significant bug issue, and due to the condition of the building, the finance department and did move their office in November 2022 to the city building where they're currently at today. Since 2022, the building has significantly gotten worse. There's concern that the northeast wall will further deteriorate and cause debris in future windstorms. The southwest wall is almost beginning to fall off in places where the water damage is significant. The administration believes it is in the borough's best interest to demolish the existing building and retain the property. In order to demolish the building, the following would occur. Surplus the materials, which you just approved that. Retain and store materials that will be used to build a temporary wall in the rented office space, which we received permission from the City of King Cove to do. Dispose of the remaining items in the building that are no longer usable or broken, like shelves, damaged paint, broken printers and scanners that are no longer usable. And then locate and mark the septic tank, and then the utilities, the City of King Cove Electrical Department will need to disconnect the power and meter base. The tank, fuel tank has already been drained, and it needs to be removed, and then the water has already been turned off. So Seward has reached out to the City of King Cove to demolish and dispose of the current structure. The city cost estimate will cost around $5,000 to demolish and dispose of the current structure. And as I stated earlier, due to the condition of the facility, Borough Administration is certain the building is a safety hazard and needs to be demolished, and the borough would like to contract the City of King Cove to conduct the demolition here in October and or November, depending on the time frame. So we just wanted you to be aware of our thoughts, and we'd like to open it up to discussion. Thanks.
Thank you, Annie. Questions or comments, Paul?
Yeah, what are the raisins doing on the window?
That's all the bugs. I'm really gross. But I do recall Jackie telling me that every day that you'd have to come in and clean the bugs. They were just a crazy amount of bugs.
You know, I had a couple of geckos. Any comments from anyone? Okay, thanks, Andy. So under new business, we have Peter Pan litigation memorandum. So this is an informational item two that was put on here because of concerns or questions by assembly members. And
yeah, so there's been questions regarding the lawsuit that's currently occurring. Joe Lebeck, our attorney, has gone through and provided all the factual data of where the lawsuit was, where it currently is. There's a lot, and it's constantly, like, this took him a while to draft because every single day there seems to be something new that he could add, and finally I was like, I have a deadline on Friday, you need to give it to me. So this is through the date of this memo. But his conclusion still is, as it was last time, that it would not be advantageous or beneficial to the borough to attempt to join in any legal action challenging the Superior Court's decision. So right now he's not suggesting that we join in anything between Peter Pan Seafoods, Roger May, Ketchum Group, or any of those. So this is in here for your information, but I wanted to make sure you had it at this meeting, but that is his recommendation. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Comments, question?
Well, yeah, thank you. I'm just getting refreshing the conclusion part here. What's complicated about the Port Mower, especially complicated about it, is the run in Port Mower kind of has dropped the last couple of years, except for Nelson Goodwin was doing that much better. So that complicates, I think, probably the business plan of the leaseholder or the option to buy it. I think Silver Bay probably, it's not a secret information, everybody knows they have an option to buy it depending on litigation. And and Joe said it's not advantageous or beneficial. That very well could be, but one thing I don't know is what if Silver Bay has a new position, it'd be nice maybe to reach out and see if they have changed because of ongoing things and business plans, if they still, what they think about it. I don't have any contact with them at all. But it is, you know, it's a new plant. And this year, it's amazing that we, without King Cove and Port Mower, the run, nobody was on limits. It's kind of weird, and they brought fish down from Bristol Bay to these plants, too. So that's kind of was unexpected to me, but it's a shame to see a plant up there just sitting there and nobody can do anything about it because of litigation. And I still don't know if we should do something report. Our attorney said we shouldn't, but that's fine. Anyway, just some thoughts. That's all. I'm just thinking out loud. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments? Okay.
Well, and one question, Mr. Mayor. This memo, it's public information, right? This memo, we can get a copy and share it with
people. Yeah, it's in your packet.
Yes, I'm just double checking.
Yeah.
Okay. We're good to, if people are asking, yes.
Well, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the packet is, it's published on our website, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's public information.
Yeah. Okay. If there's no comments, we will go to, hey, we're down to reports and updates. Andy.
Yeah, of course. So my report is in the packet. Just a couple items. The Cold Bay Dock, the State of Alaska, and PND Engineering continue to work on the environmental and design portion of the Cold Bay Dock project. There is a website and a link in there if you'd like to learn more about the project. And there will be a virtual public meeting for the project at the end of October. I think the date's the 28th, but I will get that information out as that is actually finalized. But I believe it will be October 28th in the evening, and it will be virtual. So if people are interested in attending, they are able to. The Sandpoint Harbor Float Project is still in the process of being completed. We're coordinating with the City of Sandpoint and the State Fire Marshal on the completion of the fire line. And as of right now, we learned this last week that the substations are delayed and won't be delivered probably until November. So the project has now been extended to a completion date of December 2025. So we've pushed it back a month, but it's due to the delay of the substations from the manufacturer. The Sandpoint Deed Project is progressing. Just last week, Dow, ECI, AMC, and others did travel to Sandpoint to conduct an inspection of the school to see the rough end. So basically, all the sheetrock was down, and they were able to go in and see all the work and identified some items that need to be fixed and are finished. So once those are done, they'll put the sheetrock up, and then we'll move on to the next part. But we did have a pretty big inspection done on October 1st, which is great. Tons of other school items. We've got the Acutan school boilers. Long is tentatively still scheduled to go out October 20th and 29th to work on that project. The King Cove boilers, False Pass boilers, the Sandpoint boilers, and also the Cold Bay Terminal boilers all were inspected recently by Cool Air Mechanical. When they came back, there was a lot of work identified at each location that still needed to be completed. So as of today, I actually executed one for False Pass. So they'll be going out to False Pass and Sandpoint here soon, and then we're in the process of executing the other agreements for them to go out and fix the remaining items. So hopefully we'll be good through the winter, and then hopefully at that point we're just doing standard general maintenance with them going out and looking at it and not having to do some major repairs. That's the goal anyways. So ongoing there, but I think we're almost done with that. Probably by today or tomorrow, we will have the Deep Tree Inc., who will be our new IT services contract, signed. Our goal is to have the transition from ICE Services, who we currently work with, to Deep Tree by November 1st, 2025. So we'll be transferring over to them here soon. And then just a lot of other items have been going on. I would like to give a real big shout out to the finance department for all their work on the audit. It is a lot of work. I mean, we saw the list that Jackie provided, but that's not everything. We are being audited on 5 major projects this year through the single audit process. So we've got the Sandpoint Deed Project, the Cold Bay Clinic Project, Sandpoint Harbor folks, both on the federal side with the MARA grant and the state of Alaska side. And then we also got audited on the LATCF funds. So it's a lot of information that has to be gathered. It's very time consuming, but we've got a really good crew there working on that. So I'd like to give them some kudos there. And one other item that's not on here is just the essential air service. As you know, the federal government is shut down at the moment. So we were getting memos regarding the essential air service and possible impacts of the governmental shutdown. So we were kind of like Maritime was texting me about my thoughts on what was going on, and we're trying to figure out our next steps. But yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, we received another communication from the federal government saying that the essential air service has been supplementally funded through November 2nd, which is not that far away, but hopefully by then the government will be back up and running, but the essential air service should be in place for Acutan, King Cole, or all the communities that have it. All of them that have it currently. So that's great news, but we are keeping an eye on that because that impacts a lot of people in the region and in the state of Alaska in general. So anyway, with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Randy? Eddie mentioned the Cold Bay public hearing. Is that an in-person hearing or a Zoom meeting, or do you know?
It will be virtual. I'm not sure if it'll be a Zoom format or a Teams meeting. I'm not sure what they've decided on, but it will be virtual. And the state of Alaska and PND will be running that meeting.
And Adam, you mentioned the Sandpoint School and there are people looking at it. Is there a written report on, you get a written report on what they find? Or was our engineer here too? Engineering from Dowell, were they here? Anyway.
No, that's a great question. I haven't received anything in writing yet. I believe that they've submitted stuff to UIC Construction on what needs to be repaired. I haven't formally seen that document, but there were just a few things identified that they needed to go in and finish. But I mean, I can ask for it, but I have not received anything formally in writing.
So when they came in, Paul, I took everyone up there, and they had different engineers for different phases of the project they were going through, and then Dallas, our engineer, was here also working with them. So they spent 4 or 5 hours, I think, up there. They had a plane on the ground, and I'm not sure exact. I know it was supposed to be 4 or 5 hours, but I wasn't up there right till the end, so I'm not sure exactly when they left, but in that time frame somewhere. So they went through everything up there. And from talking to them, everybody seemed pretty satisfied as to where they were on the project so far. And anyway, yeah, we'll probably get a report from them, I suppose, when they get it written up. And you know, one other thing on Annie's too. So the other day, I got an email on the Sandpoint Harbor project, and it's extended out now until December because the transformers aren't going to be delivered to Seattle until 31st October. So then whatever it takes to ship them up here, they'll come out, because originally it was planned in November. So I think they've extended it a month. Seems like everything else down there is going well. We're going to have issues that we're working through getting the water line totally installed. But that's an issue that we're working on now. We're working with NORAD engineers on that. Anyway, questions for Annie?
Annie, on the school project, that was completion date was end of December. My question is, it seems slow by observing. They've got a lot of stuff stacked in the parking lot. We're going to have one trying to pile snow in there. This goes too long.
Yeah, so the expected completion date is November 21st of this year. That may need to be extended slightly because we keep having change orders that occur as we've gone through. We find other things wrong with the building. So I do anticipate maybe that being extended a little bit. But you're right. I've heard the same comment that they're kind of going slow. But the idea is that UIC Construction will be sending out more personnel and they'll be cranking out the last bit of work. I think there was a lot of items that were unexpected with some of the prior construction as they were taking the sheetrock down that we weren't anticipating. So some of that was taking longer. So it doesn't look like a lot of progress has been made, but I do think that they are on schedule. And unless there's many more change orders, that November deadline should be met.
Thanks.
Other questions? Okay. Thank you, Annie. Ernie.
Thank you, Mayor. My report is in the packet as well. I attended the Alaska Pollock Producers meeting in Seattle, and there was a couple of studies there that were subsequently posted, and I have linked to those. Also, some messaging propaganda. As everybody knows, pollock plays a significant part of our fish tax, so it's important. I will probably testify in February on behalf of pollock communities at the North Pacific Council meeting. Alaska Board of Fisheries, if you didn't know, it's a board of fish year for the borough. I've listed the meetings again. All of the proposals for this cycle have been posted. I've linked to a couple of quick reference sheets for the PCOD proposals, the salmon proposals, and then the statewide proposals, which are, there's a couple of interesting ones for us. I've put a reference sheet there. ACRs are posted, and the staff comments for those, none of those will impact us, and none of those, according to ADF&G, meet the board criteria for an agenda change request. Also, the staff comments for the PCOD proposals are posted. They're not linked in this report. Our meeting room is room 8. There's a map. It's in the back hallway of the Egan Center basement. That's the PCOD meeting is the 30th and 31st. So we'll be there, and there'll be 2 gallons of coffee. Hopefully I'll be able to bring some donuts in. The North Pacific Council meeting ended a day early yesterday. An interesting meeting. They set crab specs, and then later in the day, the department published the quota allocations. They set preliminary groundfish specs, which are not different from last year's. They did say there's not going to be a new Bering Sea pot cod rationalization program. They said no to that. There's a link to the agenda if you want to look at that, and you can see all the council motions. They did a couple things that kind of link to the next agenda item in my report, restoring American seafood competitiveness. They ended the requirement for fishermen to submit economic data reporting. And there was a motion under staff tasking, an omnibus motion on record keeping. And one thing about that, they exempted vessels 55 feet and under from some of the record keeping. So they tried to conform to the new, we'll go into the Restoring American Seafood Competitiveness, a link to President Trump's executive order, and then there's a comment period put out by NIMS, which is October 14th is the deadline, and we are working on comments to submit on behalf of the borough, and also making some suggestions for AML's comments. Mayor can maybe speak more to this, but when he attended his roundtable meeting in D.C., Secretary Rollins referred to fishermen as farmers of the sea, and the borough sees this as an opportunity to get more help from USDA for fishermen. We're also going to talk about the slow fishery disaster process, and we'll brag a little bit about our collaboration with agencies and Charlotte's work on electronic monitoring, and advocate for broader implementation of EM. And we look for any suggestions, because we have not finalized our comments from the assembly. I did put this summer fish tax revenue report in there, just to note that usually we go by quarters in the fiscal year. This goes from last year's fiscal year to this year's fiscal year. And this chart shows total fish tax revenue, not just salmon. And then we did sign on to a letter asking the governor to look into another snow crab fishery disaster. And we may bring one next month for a June sockeye South Penn fishery disaster. That seems to me, on the numbers, the only one that would possibly qualify for a disaster. And then I have listed my meetings, and I can take any questions if you have them.
Thank you. Any questions? Paul?
Some of the public's been asking about the salmon disaster, but you said you'll have more information at the next meeting then?
My plan was to bring a possible resolution specifically on the South Penn sockeye. And there's no deadline on those. You can apply almost any time. But to me, that's the one that looks like it would qualify. We could do more, or we could do whatever the assembly wants, but my position is that we will bring one for that fishery that next month.
And then also, I think you already answered this in previous meeting, but is there any plans to have a booth or share a booth at the expo this year?
We are not planning to attend Expo or have a booth. Is that your question?
Yeah, I didn't know if we had anything prepared. Thank you.
Other questions, Bernie?
Yeah, so yeah, I was asked the same question. Bernie, this is Tom, if I may.
Go ahead.
Yes, I was asked the same question about the June disaster relief. We'd like to see that come to fruition. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'll throw together some numbers so the assembly can make some decisions.
We're here.
Other. Go ahead.
Ernie, you mentioned the Bering Sea rationalization. Was that for cod and for crab?
On the council, they denied the Bering Sea pot cod guys have been looking for a rationalized LAPP, a rationalized program, and the council said no. And they're taking no further action on it. Pot cod.
Okay, that was on a vessel class size of what?
I'm not sure, actually. I apologize. I can pull it up real quick and tell you in a minute.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just wondering if it's like the 120 footers versus 60 and under.
Yeah, I don't think it had to do with 60 and under, but I'll get back to you in a minute here, Warren.
Okay, thank you.
Other question? Well, while he's looking for that, maybe a little bit on my meeting in Washington, D.C. with the secretary. Ernie's right. I mean, one of the bright spots, I think, at the meeting was Secretary, Agriculture Secretary was there. And anytime she talked about the fishermen, she called us farmers of the sea. So it made everybody smile because finally, it looks like she'd be willing maybe to recognize us the same as the agriculture people. And I think Senator Sullivan over the past few years has been putting in bills trying to get the nation's fishermen moved into the same category with them. So we have some low price protection as farmers do. So anyway, we'll see where that goes. And one of the other things was Secretary Commerce kind of gave everybody a little homework, he called it, to figure out in their areas what you consider as important, but don't bring the problems without the answers. So everyone was told, you know, if you have things that you need taken care of and there's anything Department of Commerce can do for it, don't come down and gripe at me. Come down with an answer and then we'll work on it. So I guess that means at some point we're going to have another meeting. And I have been conversing with Ernie and Charlotte. I gave them a few things that I thought we should look at, and they're going through it, and we'll put a paper together at some point here. I know they're working on it, but and then we can bring it back. So anyhow, Ernie, or did you find your...
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, on that pot cod lap that they wanted and was denied, it's for 60 and over for catcher vessels and catcher processors.
That answer you? Your question?
Yeah, that sure did. I just hate to see this. We see some of our CPs coming online here, so I don't know if it's engineered for that or what. That's okay. Thank you, Ernie.
Other questions for Ernie? Paul?
Yeah, Ernie, today in the online had mentioned at the end of the council meeting, them said that they are going to have, because of the government shutdown, they're going to have a big problem setting the tax in December at the December meeting. Did you happen to get any additional information about what options they have if the government continues to shut down for a week or two more? If the tax setting processes would be okay or not?
Yeah, I guess Bob Foy was the one who mentioned anything over 15 days of a government shutdown, it would be a real problem for them to get any real data for the tax setting. But no much more.
That's what it said in the paper, but no, I guess. But the sooner we know, that'd be good. I guess if you hear anything, I'm sure everybody's interested in that problem. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Other questions for Ernie? Okay, thank you, Ernie. I got Charlotte down here, but I don't know if she's here or not. She's small and she's fast. I can't keep up with anything. Satellite tag on her side.
Don't blink or you might miss me. Thanks. Oh. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. It's me, I swear. So Mayor Osterbeck Assembly, you guys have my report. It does look a little light. I've been on leave and I've been traveling a lot. And I just got back from the field on Monday. I'm also doing a lot of writing right now, which is why you're not seeing a ton of stuff. I'm writing a lot of reports right now. There's a lot of writing happening. So I'll just kind of go through real quick to start with the COD tagging project, which is the satellite tagging project, now that there's two. So we are finishing up the last group of tags to include in the tech memos, but obviously the tech memos are not going to get published during government shutdown. So I don't anticipate those coming before the end of October. But I am working on a kind of a high level report that's just going to summarize all the work we've done to date and then give an overview of the movement within and out of the Western Gulf from everything we've done to date, which I've got a lot of guys calling me, so I'm on it. I'm hoping to get that out, in the next couple days. I also want to know, I didn't put this in my report because I didn't have it at the time. But I do want you guys to know that even though it wasn't included at the council meeting, the GOA stock assessment author for PCOD, Pete Holson, did give a very comprehensive presentation at the September plan team meeting. This is the first time I think he's gone on record and published a presentation, basically going through the work he's been doing to sort of quantify the movement between the Western Gulf and the Bering Sea and how to incorporate that into the stock assessment. And I'd be happy to send out the presentation or the link for anyone who's interested, but it's kind of a big deal. He basically outlines three potential solutions that he sees on how to move forward dealing with the Western Gulf Bering Sea connection, but I think the information is really good, and he even goes as far as giving kind of an example table of what that might look like in terms of allocation or like a Western Gulf percent of apportionment of the Bering Sea TAC, or I guess ABC, it's not TAC yet, but anyway, so it's kind of a big deal that this is out there now, and I think we're getting pretty close to having some information. So I urge you all to take a look at it. Lots of pictures. Moving on to the acoustic telemetry pilot. I was just out on the boat in Unimac Pass last week. So we basically were trying to get all of our moorings, these acoustic receiver moorings and transmitter moorings out across Unimac Pass. We went out on the Sea Venture, which was kind of big enough to do some of this work. Everything went without a hitch. I'm actually amazed. We had a very tight 3-day window, and it was pretty garbage in Unimac Pass right before we got there, and it was pretty garbage right after we left. So the science gods were looking down on us. So there's some pictures in there. I think one of the most exciting parts of the project for me was, we're trying to work pretty closely with fishermen to actually figure out how we could maybe pay them to do the work long term. So we got to teach some of the fishermen how to obviously deploy and retrieve the equipment, but also how to acoustically tag Pacific cod. So there's some really cute pictures of the crew who are doing surgery on fish. We had Miguel, who's on the left-hand side. We were training him to do it, but actually towards the end, one of the other crew members asked if he could try it, and was kind of excited about it. So I thought that was really very cool to see them, and they did an excellent job. So it just goes to show you that, you know, fishermen can be scientists too. So anyways, we did opportunistically tag 20 fish, but the more important thing was that we got all of the moorings out, and then we'll plan to retrieve them in the spring, and that'll give us an idea of how many acoustic receivers would need to go across UMAC Pass to basically capture fish movement across between the Western Gulf and the Bering Sea. And that's not just for a peacock, that's across multiple species. We did only have one small issue, which you can read about, but otherwise everything went really well. I'm also working on the case report for the salmon tagging, and I'm hoping to have kind of a draft of that available next month. But like I said, lots of writing. The only other thing is I do still try to support the trawley and program a little bit as they're transitioning to using e-log for full-time, and it's just a little bit of a learning curve, and I'm trying to help mitigate some of the NOAA bureaucracy side of things that we just can't seem to shake. So hopefully that'll be done by this next year, but other than that, just doing a lot of writing and happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Charlotte. Questions? Paul?
One comment first, and I've got a question too, but under miscellaneous, you have a lot of acronyms there, and not everybody, including myself, is going to kind of immediately recognize it. But you did mention there's two reports on cod, one you said would be in October, and one by the end of the year. Can you be more specific on your dates when those reports will be up?
So the high level report that I'm referencing, it's going to be very brief, and it's going to give an overview of everything that we know to date. As a summary, I am hoping to have that by next week. I don't know that I could give an exact date because I'm supposed to be on leave, but I'm going to finish it anyway. The other report that I'm referring to are the NOAA technical memorandums. So that will be the official first publication by NOAA of these data that will be available for use outside of our research group, which we already give some of that to stock assessment, but this will be kind of like the big publication that comes out, and that I can't give you a date for that. I suspect it will be by the end of the year, but especially with the government shutdown, I have no idea how quickly they'll be able to turn around publishing those. Because that's not me, that's NOAA and their publishing team. Does that kind of help answer your question a little?
Thank you.
Other questions or comments for Charlotte?
4-0.
Charlotte, this is Tom. Is that report going to show some migrations of the stock? Stuff like that, okay?
That sounds fine.
Hey, Tom, yeah, that's a great question. So, yes, I think the core things that the high-level report is going to show is the numbers of the tags, like number of fish that we tagged, summarized movement between regions. So, fish that move between the Central Gulf and the Western Gulf, between the Western Gulf and the Bering Sea, between the Western Gulf and Russia. So you'll see that breakdown. And then, I mean, that's kind of the big thing. So you'll see the numbers in the table, and you'll also see a map. And that's kind of the big thing I wanted to get out there for people to see.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Well, I have a comment.
Fish were caught by a CP or a catcher boat or a factory trawler.
Sorry, say that again.
Would we know if they're being caught by a factory trawler?
We would know. Yeah, we would know that. And I actually don't know that we've necessarily quantified how many of them have been caught by different fleets. But we typically know when it's been caught because it usually goes into like a wheelhouse or something, and then we can see it on like real time as it's transmitting over the satellite. We can see where it is. And a lot of times if we look on not AIS, but Alaska Marine Exchange. Yeah, so we can usually pinpoint the vessel that has it, which is kind of creepy, but I don't know that I have that breakdown per se.
Okay, thank you.
So, Charlotte, this type of work, tagging the cod and being able to differentiate which way they're going and who's catching them, is anybody else doing this besides the burrow?
Well, yes and no. I mean, there's definitely people doing similar types of work, but certainly not any burrows that I know of. I think we're kind of unique in that way. And I also think that we are certainly leading the charge in terms of peacod. I think we are the only ones really doing this kind of work for peacod. But, you know, other groups within NOAA, they'll do similar work on, like, sablefish or rockfish, things like that.
Okay. No, that's good. So a lot of credit to your ability to go out and go around in the ocean and do this stuff for us.
Well, certainly to the burrow, I think, for having the vision.
So any other comments, questions? Go ahead.
Where'd you get that equipment? Who designed that?
Oh, that's secret.
No?
Top secret. So it's a good question. It's kind of a hodgepodge. We talk to a lot of people around the world who have done similar work in pretty dynamic areas like Unimak Pass. And we borrowed some of their designs for the floats, and then we adapted them to fit on pots. And we worked with fishermen, just kind of asking about the kind of gear that they use out there. We kind of worked out a plan and talked about different line to use, different weighting options, floats, basically all these things to try to engineer something that would survive in Unimak Pass, just because it's just rips through there. So, but yeah, we kind of designed it.
Oh, that's impressive. Thanks.
Other comments? Okay, thank you, Charlotte. So that's the end of our reports and updates. So we're down to assembly comments.
Hey, this is Sam. I'll say a little thing. So this was actually Annie's idea, but we have, I never really thought about it, but we've had a pretty really busy summer in Nelson Lagoon specifically. A lot of cool projects that we've been able to get done. Started off with a brand new dock at our water lake. The old one was falling apart, was dangerous. That was like a 5-year project, but we got it done this summer, so it's beautiful. We also got a brand new power plant installed. It's powering the village right now, so we're not working off of our old generators that we've had so many issues with, so that's awesome. We hired a contractor, and he came out and put up a tribally owned storage building for all of our equipment, heavy equipment. The same crew, they came in and they helped us replace all of our fire hydrants. They just got done. That was a grant that we got through PICTA like 6 years ago, and we've just had so many delays, so it's finally done. I'm excited. They did more than half of our old fire extinguishers, or not extinguishers, fire hydrants didn't even work. So we have all brand new fire hydrants. It's very exciting. Our fuel farm will be done this month, but our fuel farm has been getting extensive repairs done. That's like a 2-month project, but we got a crew of guys out there doing that. And two, we've got a really nice representation from Nelson Lagoon here for both UCC, so the United Community Conference, and EFN. We've got a lot of representation here for Nelson Lagoon, so it's just very exciting. It's all exciting, all good things, but I just wanted to give you guys a little update. Thank you.
Yes, nice. Sounds like you're really busy over there, for sure.
I have a question for Sam. This is Chris. So your water line, that's all gotten fixed, all put in good now, that was going down the beach there that you guys have been working on for a while?
So that is, we still have issues with it every year. Like a section of it is, it still washes out. We've been still trying to figure out how we can, I guess, fix the issue. But right now, it's just kind of maintaining, keeping it buried and
And two, we're working on actually getting another water tank, a water holding tank, so that we don't have issues like that. Like, we could keep them all filled through the winter, and we won't have to be pumping, you know, water. But for right now, Darren, who works at our water treatment plant, he's pretty good about keeping the tanks filled, pumping when he knows he can. So it's, just kind of a maintenance thing right now.
And the other question I had too is, I see you guys, and I'm very excited, I see you guys using the school more, and that's kind of exciting because how long that has kind of sat, and I know you guys used it for the culture camp and for other things too, so happy to see that being able to be utilized, so.
Yes, for sure. I mean, we've been wanting to use it for so long too, and so we've put in a couple monitors right now for some heat. The water, we still don't have any running water in there, but we're hoping to get that fixed in the future. But yeah, definitely for culture camp, we utilized it a lot. We're hoping to do more open gym nights and play some volleyball and games in the gym. And so we definitely plan to be utilizing the school building a lot more in the future.
Okay. All right. Thank you. It's good to hear what's going on in Nelson and Dillon. So thanks. Keep it back.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Good job.
On our upcoming fish board meeting, we have some of those PCOD proposals there. Was the borough going to pay anybody's way out there to attend the meeting at all? That's my question.
Seriously, it never came up till now.
I got a question this morning in the Harbor House about it. That's why I brought the question to the floor today.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
I would just suggest to first ACs, if they go through the board support, they can at least send one person out to relay the comments of the local AC, Sandpoint, King Cove, False Pass, Nelson Lagoon, too, if they wanted to send somebody out. But as far as the borough sending some out, that is the mayor's decision.
Yeah. So Warren, how about your AC there? Are they going to send someone out?
Yeah, we yet to get a meeting. The gal sent out an email to the chairman and every AC member to have a meeting here to talk about it. But there is money available that way to get somebody out to that meeting. But we know with the PCOD issues we have in front of us, man, that's something we got to hold on to and try to get it off of the federal, not like the federal takeover, but just to have most of it on a federal season where it's almost not accessible with the small fleets we have here in the villages, to be able to harvest those cod. And with the price going up, that might be a good idea to have somebody there to kind of push this along, trying to get more of a percentage of the TAC on the state level for more of a smaller fleet instead of what happens now with when the fleets move around in and out of the Bering Sea to harvest the federal TAC on the Pacific side versus the north side when both seasons are on, things like that. They want, you know, you might want to consider to keep our villages afloat here. That's my reason for bringing up the question.
And Tom, are you your AC? Are they going to set someone up?
That's the
AC.
I haven't been on it at all. You've been trying to. Just nothing happening. Everybody's kind of busy doing their dungeons, and it's hard to get a meeting together.
Hey, man. So, Tom, on your, I know you guys have a lot of concerns. You seem like more aggressive on this comfort stuff than anybody. So, is False Pass going to send anyone out?
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there.
Okay. All right. Anyone else?
I agree with Warren. I think, you know, all communities should have some participation in this, and maybe it probably advantageous for the borough to send someone to these meetings from where it wants to go. Thank you.
Yeah. And Ernie, could you reach out to the ACs and ask them kind of formally if they're going to have someone out there too?
Yeah, and I know Sandpoint AC has a meeting next week, I think the 14th.
Yeah, because if we can figure out how many communities are going to have their ACs out there, then we can kind of get an idea of what we need to do to help make sure there's enough people there. Warren, you're the mayor. Are you going to go out for this too?
Yeah, we're still looking at it, but with all the other stuff going on, some date might hit that same date, so it's hard to plan.
That's true.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, we could definitely look at it, but I know that, you know, the bad part about King Cove is we don't have a plant anymore. We do have a lot of fishermen, and some of the fishermen, you know, do better than others, and some of them, with the salmon season they just had, I'm sure they're doing okay here, but there's some fishermen that weren't able to fish at all because of the restrictions with the plant on RSW. So things aren't that rosy around here. That's kind of why I brought the question up, to see if we wanted to get a local person, maybe even a sponsor of one of the proposals to bring up the TAC up to 50% and 60. There's a couple of them, so you see the authors of 60. The proposal. So I don't know. We'll just keep that thought in mind, and we'll get some people out there. I hate to have somebody with a proposal and they'll grab that one that the person isn't there. So then the person's not there, so they say, "Oh, he's not here now." So we'll just throw them all out. You know how that goes.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, and this is coming up on us here very shortly, so we'll try and get some work done on this. But like Sam pointed out, it's been pretty quiet. Nobody even brought it up, so I didn't really thought about it other than I knew we were going to have Ernie there and possibly Charlotte, if we can track to her.
She'll be there. I'll make sure of it.
So, anyway, good. Good, that's good information. We'll start working on that a little bit. So, other assembly comments? Okay. Hearing none, any other public comments? Okay. So, our next meeting date is November 13th. And, of course, we will, since it was just elections, we'll have
certification. Special meeting on October
20th. Yeah, October 20th will be the certification, right?
Yes.
Okay. So with that, we need a motion to adjourn.
Come on. In a second.
Thank you.
We'll be sitting on the top of the 20th.
Thanks, everybody.